God's people. Let's take God's Word and turn in the Scriptures to Exodus 16. Exodus 16, we're going to be reading verses 22 through 36 of His holy Word. And before we do so, let's go to Him in prayer. Our Father, we ask, as we have learned in the past weeks, that You now would give us our daily bread. You would speak to us with great clarity and give us understanding and knowledge and wisdom, all so that we would know what to believe concerning You and what duty You require of us as Your people. Father, we ask that You would shower us with Your grace now and show us mercy, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 16, verse 22. These are the words of God. Now on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out together, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in this place, in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel named it manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Then Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer full of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer full of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah. That is God's word. Our God now brings an introductory text. This is kind of what it is for the rest of the book of Exodus. The Sabbath, as we see here, is a major theme in the rest of the book. And so this is kind of an introduction to it in this book. The Sabbath, that which we saw first in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, when God Himself rested on the seventh day from creating all things. And now we see this Sabbath principle again, and then we'll see much more in the coming chapters ahead. What Yahweh through Moses is doing that we touched on last Lord's Day is He's setting before them that even before they get to Mount Sinai, they're still halfway between Elim and Mount Sinai, and they're still there having not received the Ten Commandments. And they're receiving this also before they get to the Promised Land, but after they've been redeemed, after they've been saved from the land of Egypt, they're given this Sabbath principle, the commandment of the Sabbath, and it is truly for their good. As we'll see, it's for their rest and for our rest. Rest from their long labors as slaves. And so now our Lord expands for us on the commandments for Israel from verses 4 and 5. On the Sabbath, that's what we heard last week. Verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Now he expands upon this, what actually Israel did as they were commanded by Moses, through the Lord through Moses. The first point this morning, Sabbath keeping. Sabbath keeping. As we begin, let's get in our minds and hopefully in our hearts, which will be also stressed time and time again as we go through Exodus, that this Sabbath principle does not have its origins at the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, or the Sinai covenant, or if you want to use another term, the Mosaic covenant. The Sabbath principle also does not have its origins in God's redemptive provisions. It's not having its origins in redemption. But rather, as you know, as we already said, it is rooted in creation. It's rooted in creation. God's created in the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. We have there the Sabbath principle. And just as the Lord provided the vegetation and eventually all the animals for God's people to partake in and to be provided for to eat and survive, the Lord reminds the people of Israel that He is the great provider of all their physical needs. But when we come here, we also see it's not only physical needs, but it's also spiritual needs. This passage is designed to show us that Yahweh provides for His people's food and rest. When we heard verse 21 last Lord's Day, and that also now this Lord's Day, verse 22, it actually shows us this Sabbath pattern. They gather for 6 days. The 6 days they gather and prepare twice as much. And the seventh day they don't gather or prepare at all. And so verses 4 and 5, the Lord commands Moses for Israel. Moses would take that to Israel. The Sabbath there is commanded. When we get to verse 21, 22, the event has actually happened. It's a statement of what they did, or they're following through. The Lord's design, therefore, is clear. That this historical account, this time in history, is not only being used by the Lord to provide for His people, but this providing the daily amount for 5 days, a double portion on the sixth day, and then none provided on the seventh. He takes this opportunity to teach His people again about the Sabbath principle. This is the first time in Scripture that Sabbath is used as a noun. It's a Sabbath. When in Genesis 2, 1-3, the Lord rested. Sabbath, the word Sabbath and the word rest, the same word. Sabbath means rest. There, that root is used in Genesis 2, and it's used in a verbal form. God resting from His creating acts. And so as God rested Himself from creation, so we're here given a noun. We're given a Sabbath. We're given a rest. So the Sabbath, referring back to creation when God rested, that's what we'll see in the fourth commandment itself in chapter 20. Why is the commandment given? We'll see there. It's because God created 6 days and rested the seventh day. From creation until this time, then, the Sabbath has been given for God's people. It hasn't stopped. And yet over time, we see here the Lord, what He's doing, He's, what some would say, is weaving more and more into the fabric of God's people what it means to be a follower of God. And it means first, at least here, that there's a Sabbath. There's a resting that He gives you as His people. And so as the whole of the principle is not given here, it's the whole commandment is not given, all the little intricacies of what the Sabbath means is not given here. And it comes in stages. So this is like, as we have Genesis 2, this is probably the second part of the stage that the Lord gives to His people. He's growing them. It's taking a long time, we'll figure out. We know ourselves. And so now as the Lord provides food for them, He's growing them. He's discipling them in the Sabbath. He's showing the people the significance of the sixth day and the seventh day of every week. Verse 23, he actually says, tomorrow is a Sabbath observance. Tomorrow is a Sabbath keeping. And so where you have 5 days, you aren't to keep overnight anything. Because remember, what happens, it will spoil. But rather, you eat what you gather. The sixth night, the day of preparation, you keep overnight so that you won't have to gather on the Sabbath. You gather double, and you prepare double. So on the Sabbath, there is no gathering, there is no preparing. And he calls this a holy Sabbath. It's not just a Sabbath, it is a holy Sabbath. You see that the Sabbath itself, the seventh day, is a special day. It's a day that's set apart. God, we see, sets it apart. What days are set apart? Whatever God says, which days are set apart and holy? And He has from creation set apart this Sabbath day as holy. It is a holy Sabbath to the Lord, it says. The sixth night, the sixth day, that food will not spoil overnight. It won't melt like it does the other five nights, if you had kept any. And with that in mind, verse 24, it says, so they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it on that sixth day. So how do we as men and women explain this? How can bread or manna produce itself in particular quantities 5 days and then double on the sixth day and then none on the seventh day and that for 40 years without ceasing? There's today people who attempt to explain the text naturally. Well, this is just a natural occurrence. Well, obviously they can't do justice to the text when they do that. And there's we see here very clearly that the Sabbath, how the Lord provides for His people, He shows His people the Sabbath. He does so miraculously. This is miraculous work of the Lord for 40 years. Non-stop. It is not natural, it is supernatural. And so there's no need on the seventh day to skip eating so that you'll have food on the first day. This is continual. God provides for His people. Verse 25, Moses said, eat it today, that which you prepared the sixth day. Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. In creation, the Lord rested for man's good. It's very important as we continue today in this text. In creation, the Lord rested for man's good. How do we know this? As God fears, if the Lord had not rested on the seventh day in creation, Genesis 2, 1 through 3, then it would have said so there. But it says He did rest. But then we question that. Well, God doesn't need to rest. He does not slumber. He does not sleep. And that is correct. God does not need to rest at all. He is God. But He knows something of us. We need rest. We need rest. And so the Lord rested for us in creation. Our Lord says, for God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. He's saying exactly what the Lord was giving us by example in Genesis 2. God rested for us, for our good. So as He rested in creation for our good, so also in God's providence He rested for the good of His people, that we would rest in Him. For today, it says, is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today is a rest to the Lord. Today, for you people, for you Israel, today is a rest to the Lord. Yahweh suspends the supply of manna, having given them a double supply on the sixth day for their good. Verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. The sixth day, verse 23, gives the instructions. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning, to be eaten on the seventh day, the Sabbath. And so that is, prepare what you are to eat, gather it in, prepare what you are to eat, what the Lord has provided that sixth day, the double portion. And eat the six days amount. That is the one day supply. And then on the seventh you have the extra left over. The holy Sabbath, you are to eat that which the Lord has provided. You are already prepared. You've already prepared it. It's already ready for you. That is so that you will not be going out to gather. You're not going to be preparing. All so that you can rest. Because it is good for man to rest from his labors. That is Sabbath keeping to the Lord. Israel, you've been oppressed. You've been persecuted. You were slaves who worked 7 days a week for some 400 years. For you in this wilderness, now it was slavery. And 7 days work every week for your whole lives. Those people who were actually in the wilderness at that time, for their whole lives, they knew nothing different. It wasn't like when they first came in, when Joseph and Jacob's sons. They weren't slaves at that time, but over time they became slaves. Well, these people in the wilderness, they were slaves, they only knew slavery their whole lives. But now he's saying, you've been redeemed. You've been saved. You've been set free. And I'm reminding you of that great principle that I gave you in creation, that grace of giving rest to Israel, that which you've not known your entire lives. Resting unto the Lord, physical rest, certainly, but also spiritual rest. So our focus, our worship would be on Him. And yet, just as today, there were some who doubted God's grace. Verse 27. It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Just as today, when many people, yes, going to worship, they'll say is important to do so, but the Sabbath is an Old Testament idea. They're saying in it, that's part of the Mosaic law, that's part of the ceremonial law, it's abrogated, it's no longer with us. It does not apply in the New Testament today, and that way they're almost like dispensationalists. They in this deny God's grace to them, and they choose to be slaves. You see that? They're denying God's grace, and they're choosing to be slaves. Slaves to this world, slaves to their work, slaves to their family, slaves to whatever it might be. They agree with the Sabbath principle for today, with since creation. Yet at some points, with certain circumstances, they, even as we would, who generally agree with the Sabbath, that there's sometimes when we doubt God's grace, and we take it for granted, and we forsake the Sabbath day ourselves. And doubting that God's grace, in this way, at those times, we make ourselves slaves to this world, or to ourselves. Ezekiel 20. Actually shows how grievous this doubting was by Israel in this particular instance. Ezekiel 20, it says, "So I led them out of the land of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes, made known to them my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I said," and this is getting at how serious this was, "then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to make a full end of them." And they did not enter the promised land, did they, that first generation? And that, he says in Ezekiel 20, he did all for his name's sake, for his glory. It was grace to them, to Israel, even prior to the giving of the Ten Commandments. It was grace for their good, for their physical, their spiritual rest in Him. But you, when you rebel against the Sabbath, when you, Christians today, when we rebel against the Sabbath, you need to remember Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. One thing to mention, as the Sabbath principle also predates the giving of the Ten Commandments, It also predates, it comes before the covenant of grace. The Sabbath is a provision of creation. It is made for man. Again, Jesus makes that clear in Mark's Gospel. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. It's not something you do as a work. It's not slavery to you. It was given to you, for you, for your good, for grace to man, God's grace to man. Our Lord begins again giving His people the Sabbath principle, which He will go on in the rest of the book to explain and instruct for their going, for their good, showing them here that it's rooted in creation. He'll do that again. He'll show it's rooted in creation and the fourth commandment. There's 6 days of gathering. There's 1 day of rest in Him. And this means what? But the Sabbath is not merely legal in nature. This is important also today to think about. You talk to quite a few Christians today, again, they'll say, well, the Sabbath was part of the law. It's legal. It's part of the law. Some will say something different, that it was merely ceremonial. And sometimes they'll even quote Calvin. Which would actually be against Calvin. Calvin believed there were ceremonial aspects to the Sabbath, but it was not merely ceremonial. And they'll say it's derived, people today, it's derived solely and only from Moses' law at Mount Sinai. Well, here it's clearly that's not true, is it? Not. But the whole point of the passage is to make clear that God's gift of the Sabbath is that it is not. It's not legal. First and foremost, it's not rooted in the law. It's rooted in something deeper and prior to the giving of the law. And so Hebrews 4 says, rightly, even today, there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. For the Lord rested for man's good. And so our Lord reminds us again, there remains a Sabbath keeping, a Sabbath observance for the people of God. The second point this morning is Sabbath rebuke. Sabbath rebuke, verse 27, again, the Lord having reminded them of the Sabbath principle that stems from creation, instructing them to gather on the sixth day double, and that there would be not any given on the seventh day in any of the fields. It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. So Yahweh responds to this, verse 28 and following, through verse 30, speaking to Moses, their mediator. And yet what he's saying is for the people of Israel, he rebukes them. He rebukes Israel. Part of rebuking is reminding them of the Scriptures, of the truth, and correcting that breaking of it. We see here that the Sabbath was a matter of obligation and discipleship. And yet, as we think of it, the Sabbath was given for the purpose of blessing. It was a beneficial gift of the Lord. It was for their good, right? It's for our good. It was His giving of grace to His people. These verses stress for us that the way of joy and blessing is the way of obedience to His Word. Verse 28, in response to the people's disobedience and unbelief, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions?'" The charge Yahweh brings shows that Israel has clearly broken what? They've broken the law. But then we ask, well, the law hasn't been given yet. Well, you have to wait 4 more chapters and there has to be some more journeying to get to Mount Sinai where they are given the Ten Commandments, the law. And so what's again being shown is that prior existence of the Sabbath. Not only in verses 4 and 5 where the Lord commands, but all the way back to Genesis. This is a perpetual commandment. It is a perpetual commandment, a perpetual law of God. It has a creation origin, not a Mosaic origin, we might say. So, beloved, our Lord's designation of the seventh day, following after His own pattern at creation, is positive rather than moral. That's, what does that mean? That is, maybe, might go above your head, and that's, so that's fine, it's not of great importance. You've already got the, if you're listening to this sermon, you've already gotten the bare necessities, the good foundation. But, what does it mean that this pattern, this commandment, is positive instead of moral? The Sabbath keeping rests upon a positive precept, positive command, rather than on a moral precept. It rests upon a positive law rather than on a moral law, and derives its authority from its institution, creation. It derives its authority from its institution, not from anything essentially moral in its nature, it being not rooted in the moral law. It is moral in nature, but it's not rooted in morality. That helps. Robert Shaw, he did a great work with the Confession. He says, "The Sabbath day is a positive institution. So, when once enacted and revealed by God, may be of perpetual obligation, and in this sense may be called moral. Hence it is usual to speak of the morality of the Sabbath, and to distinguish between what is moral natural and what is moral positive." And the fourth precept of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. "As it requires that some..." This will get clearer. "As it requires that some stated portion of our time should be consecrated to the worship of God, it is moral natural." So the Sabbath day should be, a portion of it should be set aside for the public worship of God. That's moral in nature. That's what he's saying. "And as it enacts that seventh portion of our time," one day in seven, "as it enacts that seventh portion of our time, rather than any other proportion, shall be set apart for His purpose, it is moral positive." It's positive in nature. We call it a positive institution because the observing of one day in seven as a Sabbath flows from the sovereign appointment of God, and we call it moral positive because the divine appointment is of universal and perpetual obligation, and the Sabbath is thus distinguished from ceremonial institutions, which were peculiar to the Jews and that were abrogated at the death of Christ. The morality of the Sabbath, therefore, consists in its binding obligation upon all men in all ages." And I can send that to you if you request it. But what he's basically saying there again is that the Sabbath is based in creation. And because it's based in creation, just like the male-female relationship is based in creation, because the Sabbath is based in creation, it is for all people in all times. And because it's part of the Ten Commandments, you still cannot deny, maybe you deny the Ten Commandments, which you should not do, but you still could not deny that the Sabbath is a perpetual commandment, a perpetual law, because it's rooted in God's perfect example for us in creation for our good. And today, the New Covenant Lord's Day is celebrated on the first day of the week because of Christ's recreated work. So the Sabbath started in creation because of God's example, Christ's recreating work at the resurrection is why we worship and why the Sabbath, we would say, is now on the first day of the week, because it's positive in nature. And yet, also related to His redeeming work. Verse 29. "See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore He gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day." God was showing to Israel that this is for them a blessing. The Lord's given you a Sabbath. And then there's this continual commenting. "Therefore He gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain, every man in his place, let Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. The Sabbath, the holy Sabbath, has been given by Yahweh for rest for Israel, for the blessing and benefit of Israel. And so Yahweh holds out His blessing before Israel. He says, look, you were slaves. You were slaves. You never knew rest. But now I'm giving you freedom and rest in Me. He's given you blessing and not curses. If you want curses, then you abandon the Sabbath altogether. And it will be great sorrow for you. But what great grace the Lord gives us. He gives us the Sabbath for our rest, for our freedom from slavery. And they were longing to be what? They were longing to be back in Egypt so that they could have their stomachs full of meat and the Lord here provides for them for the rest of their life. Heavenly food. Manna from heaven. They remembered how great Egypt was. 365 days every year of their lives of slavery. And they're remembering the great meat of Egypt. And we need to question them. How great could the meat really be for slaves? That's what they wanted. They wanted to do away with the grace of God to them and His blessing. They wanted curses. Yahweh in His mercy gives them heavenly bread, pointing to Jesus, meat to eat and rest from their labors. And this and their blessing and held before them as blessing is their duty of obedience. There is an emphasis on that obedience. It's part of the what we'll see in the Mosaic Covenant, even as we read, so that in Ezekiel 20, do this and you'll live. He's redeemed them, He saved them, He's given them this grace. And so the grace is what's working in them by the Spirit to produce a godly life so that they will live. And yet, even today, some will put that language, do this and live, as a meritorious obedience. It's their own merit. And yet that is far from the truth. It's a grace given strength, a grace given works. And so here's an emphasis on that obedience. But let us not be like Israel, who failed to see the blessing held forth and rejected. So rightly Yahweh rebukes them. He perhaps is rebuking you now. How could you give up so great a blessing, Israel? How could you give up so great a blessing of the Sabbath and resting upon it the whole day? He doesn't say part of the day. He doesn't say, Lord, the Sabbath morning. He says the whole of the day. How could you give up so great a blessing? How long do you refuse to keep My commandments and My instructions? And then finally, very quickly, providential remembrance commanded. Providential remembrance commanded. To remember God's providence, good providence to them, He commands them to set aside part of the manna. The last verses of the passage, He gives them what they were to remember for generations and generations, and how they were to remember. The Lord does this with the Lord's Supper, for an example more close to us. He gives us so that supper so that we would remember His good providence towards us. And the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice on the cross to sustain us, grow us in faith, that we would not, what we heard a couple Lord's days ago, forget, so that we would not forget. Yahweh's provision of the manna showed their dependence upon Him. And God's provision of the manna showed that special relationship that He had with Israel, that He was their God and they were His people. And so some manna was to be kept as a standing reminder of God's providence for His people. This is to be set aside, written for generations to come. This last part is written for the generations to come, so that when they read this or heard this, and they saw the manna, and they remembered that the manna was put in the Ark of the Testament, Ark of the Covenant. Even here, there's a signal for the generations to come, verse 36. Because the measurements to come were different in the future. So what's an omer, they would ask in generations to come? Well, it's a tenth of an ephah. And that's why you have that tenth of an ephah of manna. Verse 31, the house of Israel named it manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer full of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread and that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer full of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came into an inhabited land. They ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah. And so along with Aaron's rod and the plates of the Ten Commandments, this was eventually placed in the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Testimony. All to remind the people how the Lord provides for them. We remembered. Again, why they needed to remember, because we are a people who easily forget. They were a people who easily forget, or who forgot. And so they have this remembrance. All for our benefit, for our good. He gives us the Sabbath every Lord's Day, because it doesn't take 6 days to forget. And yet He gives it every seventh day. It only takes a moment to forget. And yet in our God's grace, He doesn't make man for the Sabbath. He doesn't give 6 Sabbaths a week and 1 day of resting from the Sabbath. He gives 1 day that we would remember His creating all things in 6 days and resting on the seventh for our blessing and for our good. A Sabbath is for our blessing. You need to repeat that to yourself often. It is God's grace to you. And so let us not refuse His blessing. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for the Sabbath. Thank You for the Lord's Day. Thank You for Christ's recreating work that we know even in now and hope of the resurrection to come. We'll have new glorified bodies. There'll be this recreating of bodies. What that looks like, we don't particularly know, except for what's given very minimally in Scripture. And yet we look and hope for that. For many today struggle in their bodies. And yet this is why You give us rest once a week. For the whole of the day, that we would rest from our labors, that we would not be slaves to our work. That we would not be slaves to the entertainments and recreations of this world. Rather, we would be free from it. And rather slaves to You, servants of righteousness. And so, Father, cause us to see this grace. Cause us to see Your blessing. And by Your Spirit, enable us to keep it holy. For it is a holy day, as You have said. And let us not fall into cursing ourselves by forsaking this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.